On the show today, we have Capstone's John Deering talking about the risk and reward for today's credit union, so check it out. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have Mr. John Deering from the folks at Capstone. How are you, John?
Doing well today, Mike. Delighted to be here. Thanks
Good.
For having me.
Thanks for taking time out of your schedule to be with us. Well, last time we saw each other was a month and a half, 2 months ago at Max up there in the Northwest. And
that's right. We all had a good time up there.
Indeed.
It was a really nice show.
Yep, indeed. And a beautiful part of the country as well. Gosh, it was gorgeous up there. So, hey, and we're talking about something else kind of very, I don't know if that's grammatically correct, but we'll go with it. The risk and reward for today's credit unions. And kind of to summarize it here, I mean, you're the one kind of came up with this, but I'm just going to kind of read it out here real quickly here. No risk, no reward. Some financial institutions may be afraid to try new strategies for growth, but a strong foundation is the secret to maximizing your organization's success. So before we dive into deeper, can you just kind of give us a quick summary on what you mean here?
Sure. Happy to. You know, no risk, no reward. It absolutely applies to our work in the credit union space and what I've seen over time with organizations in and out of the credit union world, quite frankly. Part one of that is really making sure that you understand that there's different degrees of risk, right?
Yeah.
So it really comes back to what, number one, is what is the right level of risk for your organization?
Mm-hmm.
And also part two is, you know, benchmarking what your options are and looking at what your alternatives are and deciding which is most applicable for you
right.
as an organization. And the third part of that setup would be really around making sure you know where you're headed and to figure out whether or not certain things need to be done in order to get you there.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing that can happen is kind of the status quo, especially in today's world.
Yeah.
So I immediately float my thoughts toward, well, if you do nothing, there's a risk to that as well.
Big time.
So you really got to think about directionally where you're headed. And that's why I think the risk reward is kind of foundational in setting things up, setting organizations and people up for success.
Yeah, I totally agree there, especially in this kind of fast-paced environment that we're in now where the technology is just changing so fast. There's that risk. There's probably not one credit union CEO or even in other industries where leaders are just like thinking of the risk reward. So and you kind of stole my thunder a little bit. Thank you very much for
Uh-oh.
That. So
Sorry
I mean
about
how
that.
Much no, it's actually segued quite nicely because I was thinking, gosh, how much risk is enough? Where's the balance here with credit unions in this case? And I'm just kind of leaving that up to you, kind of throwing that one out there for you, John.
Sure. Well, the balancing act is one that you have to manage on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But I think it starts out with kind of your 5-year plan and horizon for and what you're doing for the future, as I said, and getting people passionate about that particular direction on where you're headed. I think that's the key to success. Number one
mm-hmm.
is really getting alignment on where you're headed. Then part two of that is, okay, putting together a framework which includes the right people to get the organization headed in that direction. Credit unions, as you know, are very passionate about their people, the communities, the members that they serve, the quality service that they deliver. Those things are always wrapped in the mission and vision of a credit union. But you also have to, as you said, in today's dynamic world, take into account, if you will, the what-if scenario. As you've delivered that quality service in the past and today, won't be the same as in the future. So because
yeah.
of that,
yeah.
you need to really think about, okay, just because, you know, You can't stick your head in the sand, right, and forget about what's going on around you. You need to evolve and make decisions about what are the alternatives moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about looking at options, I think, is the short answer to, you know, defining risk and what's appropriate
yeah.
for your organization. It's top down from the board level, the leaders, the people that need to manage the organization and drive initiatives forward. All of those various people and different levels of the organization each have a certain risk tolerance.
Yep.
So it's first taking kind of an inventory, if you will, internally of what that risk profile looks like. Also looking at the external forces of where the organization, the market is going, or where the organization could go, rather,
mm-hmm. yeah.
in this market as it evolves. And then blending those two together, if you will, and figuring out how much risk tolerance is appropriate for your organization, and down to the next level for the initiative that you're about to embark upon as well. It's not just the overall organization. It's how do I increase the likelihood of success? And I think that comes with proper planning, back on your foundational word earlier, proper planning, having the right team, and then making sure that you have the right information to be confident about the direction you're headed. So some organizations are going to need more data. Mm-hmm. Some individuals within the organization are going to need more data to make a decision. And really looking yourself in the mirror and understanding how you make decisions is kind of another thing that is parallel track.
And I think, well, the last thing you said in your previous response is like, if you do nothing, there's a lot of risk to that. And so I think if you can do the opposite of doing nothing, I think you're in good shape. As long as you, like you said, as long as you have a plan and you move forward, because things are moving so fast. There are so many moving targets. And that's why we hire, you hire really good people, and you know, the research, the data, like you say, gosh, just get out there and do something to keep moving forward. Keep that momentum moving forward.
Right. I think you got to parse it into what are the factors that you're alluding to in cybersecurity and compliance and digital and mobile and all the things that you're talking about that the credit union leaders and board members are grappling with today. You know, some of them you have control over and some you don't. So you got to grab hold of the ones that you have control over and do something proactively to manage that risk.
Love it.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think same theme, but yeah.
I love that. So, well, that said, I mean, why are some credit unions in this case, not all credit unions, but there's some, why are they afraid to try new strategies? What's holding them back? What's the hurdle there that's standing in front of them?
Well, there's several. I guess one bucket is the whole issue around having the confidence to try something new. I think because in the credit union space in particular, we work in over 100 different markets. In the credit union space in particular, reputation is really everything. Mm-hmm. People say that all the time, but they cannot make a bad move because of the risk associated and the I'll say, backlash. If something gets out in the press that they did something inappropriate or it didn't work out loans, whatever the case may be. So there's this conservative nature just because of the reputation risk that's embedded in the credit union community. So I think that's part one that is there. Part two of the answer is the good news, flipping it on its head, is there are so many alternatives today for new growth initiatives, be it through expansion of geography and charter or new product lines, and as what you said, technology. Lots of people from outside of the credit union space, quite frankly, are looking now at the credit union space as an opportunity. So how do credit unions think about the risk associated with partnering with someone from outside of the credit union world when they're worried about their reputation risk? And all the other factors about, I guess you're back to your question about taking action and how you actually move the ball forward to take action. I think you have to have a methodical step-by-step process to actually identify options for growth. So that's part one. Mm-hmm. Make sure folks are listened to. Make sure you have passion and alignment all the way through the organization to actually embark upon them. And that's troublesome also, right? Because you have so many different constituencies that leaders in the credit union world are trying to not only appease, but make sure that they're super happy, right? So that's another challenge when you ask about risk profile and why people don't act, because, there are just so many levels of organization needs, wants, and desires of so many different types of people and constituencies that need to be addressed. So I think that's another hurdle, if you will, that a lot of credit union organizations are grappling with. Not that it's certainly insurmountable. It's just I'm giving you my reaction to what are they up against and why might they not opt to make a move, right?
What about paralysis by analysis? Because there's so many things out there right now. I feel for these folks. I mean, they're in these leadership positions, and like you said, their reputations are online. I mean, there's, people's money at stake, their livelihood, So, and then there's all these moving parts out there, and you can sit there and analyze until you're blue in the face. But at some point, you got to take action, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the analysis paralysis challenge is one that it's quite simply addressed. And that is, be crystal clear at the beginning as to what you're trying to accomplish. Be crystal clear on how you're going to evaluate an opportunity. Get people on board with that. Mm-hmm. And then make sure that you're staying true to your mission, your vision, and that criteria set when you're benchmarking these new opportunities that are coming at you, right? Mm-hmm. And then be able to say no more times than yes. Yeah. That's part of it as well, because there's limited time and there's limited dollar resources. Those are the two types of resources mm-hmm. out there. You know, they're limited. So you have to be able to quickly prioritize what you're working on. And because you have that data that you talked about, and because you have the confidence that these are the right ones to focus on for organization to move forward, then that conviction starts to follow through, and you absolutely get more people on board. But in addition, I find that you increase your likelihood of success. But you have to have that criteria established at the beginning to benchmark.
Yeah, and then there's the completely opposite. What I'm thinking in my head is like the shiny red ball syndrome, where you're just chasing everything, and that's not the way to go either.
Well, no, again, it comes back to, we wrestle with that all the time in the world of partnerships, alliances, and JVs and acquisitions. It's, you know, people get emotionally attached to something. And if it's, you know, to use a silly example, CEO's out on the golf course and hears about something, and then all of a sudden everybody's got to rally behind and chase that ball that's going across the golf course, as you're talking about the shiny red one. You know, that causes problems throughout the organization. So you have to be diligent about what you actually select to work on. Mm-hmm. And you have to really work hard to increase your objectivity for those decisions to be made appropriately, and really tamping down that emotion that comes with a hot deal or a red ball.
Yeah. But the one big advantage that credit unions have over most industries is that we can talk to each other. A credit union can talk to another credit union and go, hey, what's working? What's not working? We're dealing with this issue right now. And we're kind of similar in size and assets, all that type of stuff. What's working for you guys? And how can we adopt that? So, I mean, I think that's, I've been hearing the term, you got to collaborate to compete, is a big thing going on within the credit unions right now. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, no, I think absolutely. There's, back to my comments about the entrenched values as well in the credit union space, collaboration is there. People are open to new ideas in general and open to sharing ideas is what you're stating overtly. And I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, there's a whole, you know, sub-industry, if you will, of folks that are trying to make a difference and make, you know, work on the credit union movement to sustain it into the future, not only just sustain and maintain, but to thrive, right? And there's a whole lot of good collaboration going on, be in CUSOs or be it within the leagues, whatever the case may be, in pockets, it's going on in rapid fire.
Yeah.
And some of them are embracing things from the outside, whereas others are trying to home grow it. Either way, you know, it's still going to move the industry forward. Right.
Indeed.
So I agree. It's a nice attribute from which to leap off of. That's
indeed. Yeah, it's a nice feather to have in your cap. All right. Here. Last question here for you, John. Why is a strong foundation the secret to maximizing your organization?
Well, I think that too many times I'll flip it on its head first and then come back. And flipping on its head, meaning back to your comment about chasing things.
Oh, yes.
Right. Too many times we've seen things fail because they weren't well thought through, right? And they were being chased and people reacted and ran after it, okay? So the reason that foundations and strong foundations are very helpful before you get caught up in that that frenzy, if you will, is to keep people grounded, right? And to make sure that you're actually in a position as an organization to move forward and try something new. That's part one, is really figuring out the internal assessment, whether or not it's time for you to do something different, right? Yeah. So it's not for everybody, proactive growth, but for those that it's appropriate, you need to make sure that you have a sound foundation so the bricks don't crack and the foundation doesn't fall apart. And that involves everything from having the plan, having the right people, having the vision and mission solid. And then from there, you can shift into how can I actually build a plan that says this is execution, these are the milestones, and these are the gates that we need to go through and the decision points moving forward where we're going to check back against that strong foundation.
Yeah.
So it's paramount All too many times I've seen where organizations in and out of the credit union space are have fabulous budgets and have fabulous plans to add salespeople and enter new markets, but they don't necessarily think through, well, in addition, we say we're going to add X, Y, and Z over here. What are the implications? Who's going to do it? Because mm-hmm. you can't just keep forcing new initiatives on top of the same people.
Yeah.
In all cases, right?
Right, right.
So they've got a bandwidth issue there. So all of that are pieces of the pie for making sure you have a strong foundation. And if you do, you're in a much better position to move forward and conquer and, quite frankly, increase your likelihood of success when you do take action.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like the foundation and or the plan are the guardrails to keep you focused, from going off the rails, from going off the tracks.
So, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we talk about criteria and we talk about the sandbox and the parameters where organizations and how they make decisions. So you're absolutely.
Indeed. All right. Great conversation, John. This is I think it's so timely just because the rapid pace and the rapid change that's happening right now, just to have, like you said, a solid foundation to keep you on the straight and narrow is so important today. Is there anything else to wrap up here, John? This is a conversation that could go on for quite a while, but I'm glad we had it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I love talking about growth. I'm passionate about growth. And I think that, over 23 years, it's really more about making sure that you have the things set up. And that's the foundation.
Yeah.
And if you do a good job there, I mean, people want to skip that step, to your point. And that breeds and leads to challenges.
Yeah,
so
right that.
You want to make sure you have that nice and rock solid before you jump into trying to find the right relationships or trying to find the right geographies mm-hmm. or trying to find the right partners. And certainly before you get into trying to figure out a deal structure or parameters that work. Exploring options and identifying them and prioritizing is also kind of in between there that I think is absolutely critical.
Yep.
How do you identify options? How do you decide which ones are more attractive for your organization? I love talking about it and happy to continue whenever it makes sense.
Let's do it. Let's do it again. This is so much fun, John. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Everybody, John Deering from Capstone. Thanks again. Appreciate the time.